I mean, this is better than a stick in the eye. Year 2, Episode 1, Stone Creek Coffee Podcast. So that's Episode 27 of Geeks Talking Coffee. We're approaching cold brew for the second time. Before we do that, I'm going to ask, if you're listening to this, you've probably listened to it before. You probably like it. So you should go on iTunes and leave us a review. If you get the podcast through our website, you may not know we're on iTunes. Well, we are. Right next to Alton Brown's Good Eats. We're like number one on the food. No, we're not. But maybe if you left a review. So that'd be a cool thing. Now we're doing cold brew because it's summer, right?
Almost. It's almost above freezing here in Milwaukee, so it's pretty much summer.
We're clinging to the hope of summer. In the meantime, we're going to act like it's summer and talk and drink some cold brew, which may or may not be what you think of, because unfortunately Christian informed me of this as we're preparing for today's episode. Apparently, nobody knows what cold brew is.
That's absolutely right. So back in April, I went to this thing called Symposium, which is where a lot of the good thinkers in the coffee industry get together and have a large discussion about certain topics. And one of the topics we explored was actually cold brew. And I saw this on the list of, like, why are we talking about cold brew? That's stupid. I want to talk about origin. I want to talk about producers. I want to talk about quality of coffee. And it turns out that it's a really important thing in the industry right now. One, because it's growing as an entire category. And two, because there isn't a formal definition to what cold brew actually is. And for us coffee science people, that's a really big problem. And then also for a consumer, that's a really big problem. For us geeky people, if we don't have a definition, then we can't really make something to a definition. Like, we have a definition of an espresso, and we can define what an espresso is based on what hits those parameters. If we say there's no definition of cold brew, how can you define what cold brew is? And you actually see different vendors going on the market at, like, a supermarket and marketing something as cold brew, which is actually not cold brew. It's actually iced coffee, which is very different than cold brew.
Yeah, but cold brew sounds better. And I think that's where people are like, yeah, cold brew, let's call it cold brew, because iced coffee is just like, well, you add coffee and you put ice on it. Cold brew, I think, is more reminiscent of sort of the craft culture of brewing, craft brewing of beer. And that's, I think, why people are getting sort of behind the labeling, because I would venture...
Behind the imagery thereof.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd wager that a lot of these cold brew products probably don't taste any different than, you know, an iced coffee.
Let's throw some definitions out there.
Yeah, before we do that, okay. What are people doing that they're calling cold brew?
So it's your kind of hack and slash version of getting iced coffee that many of us, I've done it before at home. It's like if you take coffee and you brew it and then you throw some ice in it.
So that some people will call that cold brew because it is a brew that is cold.
Yeah, exactly. And since there is no definition of what cold brew is, any kind of coffee that's over ice could technically be cold brew right now.
Well, that's handy if you're just looking to get off easy.
Yeah. And there are a handful of roasters around Milwaukee, in fact, and around the United States that do their iced coffee programs like this. And to a consumer, it can be really confusing if you have something that's iced coffee and you taste it and it tastes kind of one way, and then you order a cold brew and you get a completely different flavor experience. They're both technically iced coffees and they both could be called cold brews, but you have a really it gets really confusing for the customer very easily.
All right, so it could be iced coffee. What else is out there under the moniker cold brew?
I think that's your basic two categories. I'd wager that no one's really doing like an ice Americano product and calling it cold brew. But there's a huge difference in quality, in my opinion, between cold brew and iced coffee. And I think in the industry, this argument is kind of just coming to a head. For the longest time, people said, and in the industry that cold brew was not actually brewing coffee. It was an incomplete extraction. It shouldn't be considered its own category. It wasn't important. It wasn't good. And I think customers kind of voted in the opposite direction because they're buying it. They love it. And you have a lot of really cool projects like out of Stumptown. They have their brand new kind of cold brew hybrid cafe down in New Orleans. Blue Bottle is doing a lot of to invest into cold brew products. And La Colombe just came out with that draft latte program, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. Got to try that at SCAA. Interesting. Interesting stuff. It wasn't amazing, but it was definitely not bad. And in a pinch, it'll do. What about cold-pressed coffee? Because that's terminology that I see thrown out from time to time. Because you get things like cold-pressed juice, and then it gets that label gets put on a cold coffee product. And what people actually say in recipe is the idea of cold-pressing, like cold-pressed coffee. What's important to know is there will be sometimes a bottle, like a packaged product from, say, La Colombe, says cold-pressed, and that's... What's important to keep in mind is that that is a method of preserving something. It's not a method of brewing. So, like, the idea of cold press is like this flash pasteurization to keep it safe to drink, relatively shelf stable, but still maintain the actual integrity of the flavor profile of the beverage. So, like, a cold press juice is not like pasteurized at high heat, it's kept at a low temperature.
What cold press does is it takes juice and juice it under cold conditions, as Drew's talking about. Usually you pasteurize things by raising the temperature, but by doing that, you tend to denature the things going on underneath. So what they do is they put it in a container, they seal it, and they use this interesting technology where they use pressure to push and denature any kind of bad bacteria or whatever is inside that bottle, thus preserving the flavor, not having to use temperature heat to pasteurize. You use pressure. It's kind of like when you see the pictures of the space guys without the helmets kind of exploding in space. I perceive that's what's happening because the pressure is so much different. You're taking, you're pretty much killing anything that's bad inside of it.
It's like a pressure cooker without the heat.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to see that on some cold brew beverages. That says, again, nothing about how the product is brewed. It says how it's preserved, which is a pretty darn good way of preserving something, better than pasteurization in terms of high temperature pasteurization or the addition of preservatives. But if you see it on a recipe for how to cold press coffee, it's not talking about...
The process of actually brewing the coffee.
Well, no. So if you see a recipe for saying how to cold press coffee, it's probably telling you how to cold brew it. Especially if it's just on some forum somewhere where somebody has gotten the idea of cold press and cold brew mixed up. If you see it on a bottle of a product from La Colombe, it's telling you how they preserved it. Moving forward, what kind of comes to us now as a coffee company is this question of, hey, this seems to be kind of an extravaganza of bottling cold brew. Like, we've been making cold brew for a while, right? How long?
As long as I've been here, which has been over 9 years.
And when we say we're making cold brew, what do we mean? What definition are we using?
So the definition we are using is a highly concentrated beverage, typically using a higher concentration of grounds to water. I use a concentration of, you can steal this recipe, you can use it at home, 400 parts of coffee to 2,000 parts of water. So 400 grams.
4 to 20. So 4 parts coffee to 20
parts
of water.
So 1 to 5. 1 to 5. All right. It's a 1 to 5 ratio.
What do you call that? Doing reductions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we've done that. So we use about a 1 to 5 ratio. So 1 part coffee to 5 part water. And we use water that's right out of the tap. So usually somewhere between 40 and 50 degrees Fahrenheit. And we allow that coffee to steep in the water for an extended period of time. I would say at least 12 hours all the way up to 18, 20 hours, depending on what your preference is.
So that's a cold steep compared to our normal extraction temperature of, if you've listened to this podcast, you know this, 195 degrees to 205 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, that's
it. No other bells and whistles?
No other bells and whistles.
It's a pretty simple process. So... what a lot of people are doing is they're taking some variation of that process or even iced coffee using some method of preservation for it, and then bottling it. We have quite a few here. Stumptown, Starbucks, something with a chameleon on it. Oh, it's called Chameleon. Of course, La Colombe is involved in this. Blue Bottle. Many other companies are doing this, and so the question for us is, should we be doing it?
Should we be brewing cold brew, or should we be having pre-portioned?
So the question should bring clarity to that. We do it in our cafes. A lot of people are bottling it and selling it in grocery stores. You go to Whole Foods, or where did you go?
I went to Whole Foods, and I went to Fresh Market, and I went to Target, and I went to Outpost.
And there tend to be, especially in a natural food or kind of a high-end food store, plenty of options of cold brew on the shelf.
What I found interesting, so at Symposium, someone, I think in San Francisco, went to their Whole Foods and took a picture of the cold brew section. They actually have a cold brew section there. So we're talking maybe 50, 60 different SKUs, so individual products. Went to our Whole Foods, we had maybe 10.
Well, so 10 even seems like a lot, though, compared to, you know, a few years ago.
But we're still a growing market for cold brew.
Mm-hmm. So then the question is, should we can the cold brew and sell it in grocery stores? And I'd say there's no right or wrong answer, really. It's kind of a question of whether or not you want to. Like, our shtick is to provide a really tangible, accessible, personal customer experience, and that happens in a controllable fashion with our wholesale partners and with our retail cafes. So it really then is in our hands to make sure that the quality of the product is delivered, and that's just how we like to work. But I know also that in even our local market here, there are people who are starting to play around with this. And really, like, I think my intuition would be there's going to be a lot of competition, and people are going to start fighting tooth and nail, really a price war, to have a shot at a small piece of the market. It's like selling coffee in a grocery store. That's exactly what it is trying to move whole bean coffee through a grocery store, which is kind of a booger. Like, it's definitely an opportunity if you can get in there and get good shelf placement, but it takes a lot of sort of client maintenance, takes a lot of luck, really, and brand strength to get your product in the hands of the customer. Whereas if people are coming in your cafe, it's your game to lose at that point.
I think the other thing you have to consider as a business when you're doing a product like this is safety. The safety of the product.
Because
the minute you start distributing something like this, you have to put all these safety protocols in place. You have to be sure your high-pressure pasteurization method works. And also, you have to look at the acidity of the coffee, because an acidified product, or acidified product, that's probably the right way to say it, is more shelf-stable and will prevent bacterial growth. Some of these cold brews are probably not as acidic, so you need different ways of preserving the product. And I don't know, for me, I don't really want to think about having to do all this food safety stuff right now. Like, if we ever had all the technology in place, we'd obviously learn it. But that's a lot of extra work, a lot of added pressure to a company to do something like that. We'll see. We'll see if any of these products are any good. I'm kind of excited to taste them. It's not as easy as doing it in your own kitchen.
True.
I'll say that.
True. In terms of maintaining quality, you mean?
Maintaining quality and freshness.
Yeah. And one other thing to keep in mind, too, is this, the grocery beverage game is one of massive corporate juggernauts. And it's kind of grocery and the food industry as a whole. And you see this happening even in specialty coffee retail, is once an industry sort of matures, it tends to get more condensed. Like, bigger, brand-strong companies get bought out by large companies. And then they tend to sort of just fight each other for market share. Like, many different brands exist under one corporate conglomerate, and there's probably two or three major conglomerates that control the majority of the market share in a mature industry. Then you see kind of coffee going this way, and I think it's going to happen more and more with the commercialization of specialty coffee products. Believe it or not, I think that's a thing that's happening, particularly in the cold brew sector. And with brands gaining more and more sort of national and international strength, brands like Starbucks, Blue Bottle, Stumptown, the ones that are showing up in your local grocery store. And, you know, people are seeing a lot of, when I say people, these companies are seeing a lot of success based on their brand strength and the corporate financial backing that's helping push them forward, and more power to them. Like, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It just becomes harder and harder to control your company's sort of social and moral identity, because we all have convictions that we sort of operate our businesses by, and customers get behind those. And for a consumer, if you're discerning, if you see a product in a grocery store, the sort of statements that the company makes are muddied. I think that's just the natural course.
You went way deep here.
I couldn't help it. I was thinking about it. Like, last night, actually, I was thinking about the cold brew movement and the evolution of the specialty coffee industry. Like any industries, unless it's really guarded, which how many industries are actually really guarded, will become industrialized. They'll find a way to industrialize specialty coffee. They.
Yeah.
The man. All right. So going from there, the question is, are these any good? All these cold brew bottled products, how do they stack up compared to what you can get in a cafe that does cold brewing really, really well, and they keep it really, really fresh? All right. So what should we start with?
So I was thinking we should... So I don't want to, like, really judge... per se.
You just want to taste?
I want to taste, but what I want to do is I want to give you guys listening to us just a little advice. And my scale will be, if I had a major caffeine headache and I was in the middle of nowhere and these products were available, would I buy it again? I just want to go from there. Like,
let's
no,
just keep it real.
Keep it real. Like, would I drink this again on my own volition? I'm sure some of these I would. But we'll see. We'll see how they are. So let's start with... I want to start with this chameleon, because it's in a fun little bottle, and it has a little chameleon on it. It's espresso coffee is the title of what it is. Chameleon, yeah. Cold brew, espresso coffee, USDA organic, fair trade, all this
stuff. So there's three things it could be: cold brew, espresso, or coffee. Or cold brew, espresso, coffee. Kispress coffee.
All right. The best coffee you've ever tasted, period.
No doubt.
So setting the bar high. Let's make sure you shake it.
Yeah. They always shake well. Not much in terms of aroma.
No, you kind of have like a...
cold brewiness.
Cold brewy, kind of sweet, malty. I actually wanted to go TDS all these too, but
yeah.
I forgot to do it.
I mean, this is better than a stick in the eye. It's refreshing.
Oh, this is better than their original.
Not much fruitiness, kind of tea-like. You get kind of coffee aftertaste.
Get some sweet, kind of nutty, cocoa-y flavors. There's a little bit of roast on the finish, which you can taste in the retronasal. A little bit of cream wouldn't be terrible in this.
Yeah, it would be. It's kind of weak, and I mean weak in terms of concentration, so it's not terribly strong. So I'd actually shy away from adding cream, because then I think you're not going to have much coffee up in there. But yeah, not bad.
I could drink it.
Yeah, it does in a pinch. We should do that one next.
We should do this one next?
Because that's widely accessible.
Yeah, actually, this one's a new product. I'm holding in my hand the Starbucks Iced Coffee Medium Roast Latin American Blend Premium Coffee Beverage. And this is actually the first time I've seen like an unsweetened black coffee iced coffee product. I had to go through a lot of bottles to find one that actually had no sugar, no additives in it. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to go straight up coffee. So, this one is iced coffee. It is not cold brew. As such, it will smell and taste probably very different.
Whoa. It's a feedy essence there. I'm surprised. I would expect Starbucks to actually release something like this under their reserve label.
Do you know, they actually started doing cold brew in their cafes now. And their cold brew is actually pretty good. I was really surprised.
When did you try it?
I tried it Easter weekend, because I was hanging out before brunch, and I needed some place to go play chess. So
nice.
I played chess and had cold brew, and it was pretty good.
Who were you playing chess with?
Well, Liz.
Oh, I just picture you playing chess with, like, a 96-year-old man.
That would be much cooler. as cool. Just as cool. Anyway, we're tasting coffee now.
There's actually not many flavors. It's not bad. I expected it to be worse.
Watery.
Yeah.
Kind of beefy. That's the first word that came to mind.
Beefy in body or beefy in like flavor?
No, it's kind of got like a weird cocoa nib finish, but not much body, not much texture. It looks really dark.
But then it doesn't taste.
But it tastes very weak.
This is remarkable how uncoffee-like these things are.
And it's stale. I get a little stale.
Yeah. I would expect nothing less.
Yeah. This is... I would not drink this again.
Well, if it's all I had, I would probably drink it again. But not if I'm looking for, like, you know, quality coffee, but...
All right. So next up we have the Stumptown Cold Brew Coffee Shorty, kind of the masters of cold brew, the first guys to really mass produce in bottles.
Yeah, and they really sort of made the movement as it exists right now, so props to those guys for being the pioneers. In terms of market penetration, there are really two ways to gain a large market share. One is to be a pioneer. The other one is to be a brand strong, heavily funded, high level executor. Either you start it or you just do it really well. And they kind of did both, so good for them. Whoa!
This one's got a lot of flavor going on.
Yeah!
Again, it's not as quite as heavy as I would expect it to be in terms of like dilution, but there's stuff going on.
Yeah, a lot of acidity.
It's a dark fruitiness.
It's really sweet. There's like, nothing added to that one?
No.
Wow.
So this one almost has like a candy, like dried fruit sweetness to it.
Mm-hmm.
It tastes like there's a little suma in here, a little Indonesian coffee. Maybe.
Maybe. I mean, it's pretty clean. It doesn't taste stale.
No.
That's solid stuff. So I think I would buy this one again.
Yeah, I'll drink this one again too.
So next. When we were at SEAA, I tried Stumptown's cold brew and chocolate milk. That was so good. It's not really coffee-ish, but man. You know,
that product was sold out at Target when I went to go buy it. And I can't blame them. Like, I was a stickler for chocolate milk as a kid.
Yeah.
And if I can have something similar to that that has a little kick of coffee in it, why not?
Yeah, it's just kind of marketing genius. Chocolate milk is always a winner. Right. We should do cold brew and root beer milk.
We could.
We should ask our lead barista, Sam Brown, about his experience with root beer milk. That looks like soy sauce.
Oh, this is concentrate. So
how concentrated? It's getting real.
So this is a interesting looking bottle. If I could show you it, I would.
You know what? We may put.
Oh, it says hot or iced coffee on this one.
Oh,
cool brew. That's great.
Not cold. Cool.
But it's in a double gasoline bottle, so I can press it up and I can actually get the perfect dose and put that into my cup. I think growing up as a kid, one of my family members had some kind of supplement that they added to their drinks that was done the same way. This is really viscous.
I think I'm going to get the runs from this.
It's from New Orleans Original. An all-natural coffee concentrate without the bitterness and acidity, smooth and delicious.
I can't even. This is crazy. What, I said it looks like soy sauce. Taste that.
There's chicory in here, too. I didn't notice that.
Really? Taste it. It tastes like Worcestershire. you can't spit it. You got to swallow it.
Oh.
Get it down.
First of all, we're talking about concentrates, yeah. So this is something I would dilute.
Or maybe abusing. Well, you got some water right there.
That's true, I could.
All right.
And so we'll take a look and see if we can drink this, if we dilute it. I would not. That's almost like drinking really...
Why add chicory?
It's what they do in New Orleans.
It's not the Civil War.
Got to stretch that coffee.
Give me that.
Yeah.
All right, so we're adding some water. I don't even know what that dilution ratio is supposed to be.
That's pretty good.
Fitty-fitty?
I don't know. I don't know if they think so. That's better.
Yeah. I mean, it's so savory. Like, I think there's got to be MSG in that.
No. One fluid ounce to 9 ounces of cold water. That's a huge dilution factor. Yeah.
So I'm going to fill my cup up because that'll take me like closer to...
That's way too much.
Yeah, I mean, all the coffeeiness kind of goes away. And then it kind of tastes like Folgers at an office that has cubicles that gets left out from morning until the next morning. And then there's the guy who puts it in the microwave. This is what that tastes like before it goes into the microwave. But yeah, not good eats.
Give that here. I'm going to dump this out.
And I wouldn't be surprised if it does deliver the runnage. At least a good stomach ache.
Maybe a status update.
Yeah. We'll record our next episode from the hospital as we battle kidney stones.
So, next up we have kind of a newer product on the market. It's another Stumptown coffee, but it's in a can. And it's supposedly nitro cold brew. And last time I had one of these, I didn't do it right, so I didn't get any of the nitrogen. But nitrogen is supposed to change the texture of the cold brew just a little bit.
How do you do it right if it's in a can?
You got to read the instructions.
Turn it upside down.
Yeah. Give the can a healthy shake, pop the top, pour it into a glass, and drink it.
This is counterintuitive.
It really is. Just because I don't trust this. We're going to go away from the microphone and the...
And all the coffee. Oh! And it goes everywhere. Hey, I want some of that.
See what sells out.
Do you think we can sue Stumptown for a mess? Well, what happened? I opened it after I shook it, after they told me to shake it, got it in my face, in my eye, and got an infection, also a heart attack. Whoa. So I have an infected eye, and...
Well, the nitrogen's infused in there. It's not rising like a Guinness would, but...
But you can see it making little ripples.
Yeah.
The smell on this is like a old hunting lodge. You definitely get the nitro-ness to it, like in terms of body and graminess. It's not nearly so flavorful, though, as their bottled product.
That's slightly metallic.
Wait, hunting lodge? Are you getting hunting lodge?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you're...
Yeah, very much so. Like, stick your nose in it.
Yeah, right. So if you're a big fan of... licking an old log, but you love to lick a log that has exquisite body, get this nitro stuff.
That's crazy how different that is.
So, I mean, it's not completely without redeemable qualities. I would not drink it again, though, actually. The bottled Stumptown stuff was really solid. The nitro is leaving some... So, Christian, explain the philosophy behind the cold brew you can get in our cafes.
So, we just made a couple of tweaks for our cold brew because we got some better coffees in. And the coffees tended to be a little more acidic and wanted to tone that down a little bit. Because, like, our drip coffee, a lot of our customers like that kind of heavier, smokier body. And something that goes well with cream and sugar. So I tweaked our recipe from using our Milwaukee blend to our Black Sheep blend. And now we have this really awesome, a little less acidic, but still has a really good, rich body on it. It's an awesome cold brew.
Yeah, and it's not completely without fruit either. And I think it's really accessible in terms of everybody on the spectrum can get behind this because it's not all... roast and heavy. It's dynamic. Like, up front, you get a lot of chocolate hitting your tongue immediately, but then it kind of finishes with some fruit notes, some lighter fruit notes. Which fruit, though? Which fruit?
Which, like, some fig and some, like, dried fruits.
Which... so many dried fruits. Dried
figs,
apricot.
Figs. Well, fig is a fruit.
Yeah, and I like figs, but they don't tend to be terribly acidic. There is some decent acidity in here. Like, it's really balanced.
It almost feels more phosphoric to me.
True. So, like Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Notes of Dr. Pepper. We try and couple our cold brew with a series of special beverages every year. So, what better to add to cold brew than chocolate? So we do a mocha cold brew that you can get in cafes. And then one of our most popular summer items, which has been for several years, is a Thai cold brew. Which, what is Thai? So when I picture Thai, I'm like curry all up in that cold brew.
we're trying to imitate like a Thai or Vietnamese style coffee. It tends to have a little bit of spice in it, so there's a little bit of cardamom, a little bit of vanilla, and we hit with a little bit of whole milk to kind of replicate the sweetened condensed milk, which did not work in our cold brew. We tried a couple times, we couldn't get it right. Liked it better with whole milk.
Yeah, sweetened condensed milk, a little goes a long way, and it's hard to sort of coax and coach to do what you want. It's that way in cooking, too. Made a tres leche cake once.
Yeah. Tres leches cake.
Yeah, you got to be easy on the sweetened condensed milk. So that was interesting.
It was. So, in a pinch, if you see a cold brew product and you need some caffeine, you can probably reach for one and it'll be okay.
Just stay away from this concentrated stuff.
Yeah.
It's dangerous ground.
But don't expect as good a product as if you had bought coffee, say, from stonecreekcoffee.com and made it at home yourself at a 1-to-5 ratio. And there you can kind of cater to whatever your flavor preference is. You can get some really acidic cold brew if you're into that. You can get some really rich body cold brew if you're into that. And you can kind of cater the ratio of dilution how you want to as well.
And you can play around with different coffees. Like, what I love is a naturally processed coffee. If you have a good naturally processed coffee and you cold brew that is a trip in a good way. So,
Burundi Bukea. I don't know if you tasted that. That was phenomenal. It's like lemon
lime
soda.
It's all gone now,
isn't
it?
Yeah. No, there's some up there. You can still play with it.
All right. And if you're looking for a special recipe or you want our recommendations to match your particular desired flavor profile, reach out to us. Send an email, podcast@stonecreekcoffee.com. I promise you we will answer your question. There hasn't been one yet that we didn't answer. Also, you can go back and listen to our first cold brew episode. It was the second episode we ever did. We threw a pretty easy-to-replicate recipe on there for the Mizudashi cold brewer. There's a lot of cold brew methods out there besides bottled from the Mizudashi cold brewer, the Toddy system. There's a new brewer I saw at SEAA called Cold Brewer, B-R-U-E-R.
That's
which
pretty
looked,
cool.
Yeah, that looked really cool. So I'd like to play around with those. If you're listening to this and you own Cold Brewer, send me one. I will test it for you. A while back, we talked about types of cafes. Different cafes will bank their success on sort of meeting different customer needs or specializing in a particular thing that sets themselves or that sets them apart from their competitors, the rest of the immediate market. For a customer, how do you sort of interact with a coffee shop? Like, there are certain things you're looking for as a customer when you go into a cafe.
Because we have this perception that third wave coffee needs to be phenomenal coffee all the time, just this great experience, great environment. But yeah, there are millions and millions and billions of customers that are going to Starbucks on a daily basis.
It can be intimidating to go into a cafe you're not familiar with as a customer. The assumption is that the barista knows a whole lot and they're going to be kind of snobby about the experience. But I don't think that assumption is super fair. I think it's actually the stigma that accompanies a barista that often influences how people perceive the level of service they provide. So next time, Christian and I are going to go to different cafes and then try and summarize the experience we have, trying to feel out the level of knowledge of the barista and the level of accessibility they sort of provide. I will say this is likely going to be tainted somewhat because we're in the Midwest, and Midwest is generally high-mannered, but hey, a lot of you, let's be honest, are probably listeners because you come to Stone Creek, so you're probably in the Midwest too. And hopefully we can just give some pointers on how to kind of feel out a new cafe and how to help you feel at home when visiting a place you have never been.
Tune in next time when we have refined to an even further exotic place.
So be sure you catch that.